Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener's dolls seem to come to life at night. A historic inn has a resident soldier that seems easily offended. What would you do if you suspected that your resident ghost was the cause of your home not selling? And a ghost decides to crash a wedding. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
A listener's dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple dolls.
Believe so.
So we're not talking just Scrappy or whatever. What was the name of the doll on Goosebumps? Or in Goosebumps? Was it
Slappy?
Slappy. I knew it was something like that. I couldn't remember. Which, by the way, saw it with our older one and wasn't not impressed. It was a good movie.
It was. You were not impressed?
Wasn't not impressed. Okay. So I could just say I enjoyed it.
Wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
Okay.
It was, I didn't know what to expect going into that. It's, you know, it's just a kid's spooky movie, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're horrible. And I remembered, like, the live actor Goosebumps that was out in the 90s, the TV show. And I loved Goosebumps books back, you know, in childhood, and I thought, oh, that'd be kind of neat. And the TV show was just, it was horrible. I thought the actor, I mean, it was just bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult to watch. So I was like, well, I don't know, Jack Black's in it, that could be okay. And it was fairly decent. It was kind of a neat, they touched on a lot of the old things, if you remember some of the early books.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evolution of all those Goosebumps books, I probably really only read about 1/4 of the first half of them. And then I kind of outgrew them as they continued on through the years.
Okay.
But they did kind of like nod to some of those original ones, which was kind of cool. So worth it if you have children to go see.
I don't think it's in theaters anymore.
No, but renting. Rent it, you know, get it, whatever. But it's a decent one to watch with your kids that you can tolerate if you're not such a fan of children's movies.
I think my favorite thing from a children's movie lately was when we took the littlest one to see Zootopia, and there was a nod to Breaking Bad in it.
Yes. Yes, that was interesting. I was wondering how far they were going to go with it, too, where you have, because they mentioned Pinkman and Jesse.
It said Jesse and Walter
right here. Jesse and Walter, yeah.
And it's some guy that creates some kind of bad drug that makes the animals go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially animal meth.
Yeah. And it was blue, too.
Yeah. And then he's like, hold on, Jesse and Walter are here. And I think maybe 5 people in the audience got it.
I think so. What's going to be funny is sometime those kids who like religiously, like they pick a movie and they love it and they watch it and they watch it and they watch it and they know it and they know it. And then they grow up. And then they watch Breaking Bad in reruns, and they're going to be confused and be like, oh, did Breaking Bad base this character on Zootopia?
Right.
Just because perspective will be not there of order in which things occurred.
Right.
But yeah, that actually wasn't a bad one either. I enjoyed that one. Good Dinosaur was good too.
Yeah.
For being a children's movie. Enough about children's movies. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Anna writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I have 3 stories for you. Feel free to read one or all of my stories on the show.
I was born and raised in Colorado. During college, I cooked breakfast at a Midwestern hotel chain and have had to leave my house by 4:30 a.m. As I was in college, I often did homework until around midnight. As you can imagine, I was dead tired, and the first story could be from sleep deprivation. I lived in a house in the country and drove back roads to work. One morning, I was on my way to work when I saw what I thought was a fox or small dog run across the road. I kept my eyes on it and hit the brake so I didn't hit the animal. As I slowed down, the animal looked right at me and disappeared. I don't mean he ran to the other side of the road. I mean my eyes were on him and he suddenly was gone, as if into thin air. Secondly, everyone at my job told me the hotel was haunted. I have now been in the hospitality industry for 5 years, and I've gotten used to each hotel's quirks and resident ghosts and their actions. However, at the time I started working at the hotel, I'd always see a figure standing by my side, watching me work. It felt so real sometimes. I'd talk to T, thinking it was a coworker, only for the figure to go away as I looked up. I often felt someone standing right behind me when I washed the dishes and things were always falling in that kitchen. It didn't scare me most of the time. As someone who suffers from anxiety and OCD, I often would get intrusive thoughts, but this was different because the person in this thought was not me. I felt the kitchen ghost standing behind me. I got a horrible vision of someone washing the dishes and someone stood behind her, grabbed her and flipped her over so they were face to face. Then she grabbed a pan and hit him over the head with it. I sometimes wonder if the kitchen ghost was involved in that. Finally, I'll end with a happy story. My best friend of 20 plus years recently moved 5 hours away from me after a lifetime of us moving around the country. We're finally within driving distance from each other, so my husband and I spent Thanksgiving at her new house. She was pregnant at the time and told us that the night before we arrived, she saw a woman standing at the foot of her bed holding a blanket. She thought at first that it was her mom, who was also at the house, and tried talking to her. She sat up and saw that it was a ghost, not her mom. My first night there, I saw someone standing by our bed, and I sat up. I thought it was my husband, and I started talking to him. I got no answer, so I called out to him. "Huh?" my husband said as he sat up. I looked over to see my husband in bed with me. When I turned back towards the ghost, it was gone. It was a very calming presence. I didn't feel scared at all. You think being watched while you sleep would be creepy, but this ghost had a protective, parental feel to it. Thanks for reading my stories. I hope you all have a great day.
I wonder, with the kitchen ghost first, if it was the person that got hit in the head with the pan, or if it was the person that was attacked.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I wonder how old the place is,
mm-hmm.
and how long ago that event would have occurred.
Yeah, and I know it doesn't really matter. I'm just curious if it's, you know, where this perspective is coming from.
I wonder if there, if the person that got hit in the head with the pan died there, or if it's just, you know, they both moved on and lived their lives and died and, you know, nothing to do with that incident, but somehow they're back.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the action is just replaying itself, being just a very kind of a traumatic thing. What do you think about the fox that disappeared, or the animal that would disappear in the middle of the road?
I almost wonder if it was some other kind of spirit that was just in the form of a fox at that moment.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. What are the idea of that, but for some reason pausing her from continuing on for whatever reason, where had you kept going at that same pace at that same time, maybe it would have been an accident. Maybe, you know, wrong place, wrong time. This was preventing that from happening. Because whatever you want to call it, God or the world or nature or whatever, knew that, oh, something on the timeline got messed up here. This is about our last resort to correct it.
And that's part of the reason I wonder if it's a different spirit as an animal.
Yeah.
Just because that's not so terrifying that would cause her to have a wreck anyway.
Sure.
But that it would, she would be the type of person to slow down and not just like, all right, fox, floor it, let's, you know,
exactly. Yeah. Or if you're seeing like a ghostly thing on the side of the road making you go even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good stories.
Yeah.
I like that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. to share your real ghost stories with us. I'm going to take a delicious sip of tea while Jennifer sings you her favorite television theme song from the 80s.
No.
And go.
I'm not singing anything. So there. I cannot tell what that is. That's terrible. What was that?
Magnum.
That was not Magnum P.I.
It was my version of Magnum P.I. Yeah. That's how it went.
No.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking of.
I think that's Magnum. Pretty sure it's Magnum.
It's unrecognizable as Magnum.
It's a bastardized Magnum. Cynthia writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Cynthia, and I wrote in previously about disembodied footsteps and a door that locked itself. I'd like to tell you some more of my stories today. All of these occur in the same house as the other two stories. In fact, the same house I live in today. While in high school, in the same room as the door that locked itself, I was awake at usual past midnight. I've always been a night owl. I was watching TV and lying in bed telling myself to get to sleep, or I'd regret it in the morning when I heard an unnerving sound. Fingernails on glass or something a lot like it. My bed was positioned right under the smaller of the two rather large windows. Immediately, I thought, huh, the wind must have blown and that tree on the east side of my room brushed against the window. But the noise continued and my mind quickly went into overdrive. It wasn't the window, but the window above my bed on the north side of the house where there's nothing anywhere near it. Also, the noise was starting from the top of the window and working its way down to the bottom, and then starting again at the top all the way across the window. The house sits up of the ground, and if you were to stand outside next to a window, most people, even tall people, will only be about as tall as the bottom of the window. I resolved to pull the covers over my head and sit as still as possible and wish it away. It didn't go away. It went the entire length of the window and then started on the next. I don't remember drifting off, but I must have after some time. It was terrifying, and even now freaks me out. On to the next one, same room and still in high school. I was given a doll by my grandmother. Now I have to explain a few things here to begin my grandmother. Although big part of my life up until that wasn't particularly nice or kind and batshit crazy at times, she had started collecting dolls while I was in high school off of QVC. She had bought an Alice in Wonderland doll, which I had expressed interest in, if only because of the story, since it's one of my favorites. The only other fairy tale type doll she purchased was a Cinderella doll, which I never noticed much because I've always disliked that story. So months later, when she tells me she wants me to have a doll, I was surprised when she gave me Cinderella, but I took her nonetheless. In my room, which has a built-in desk and two shelves, I placed her on the top. Anything put up there, even now, never gets moved. It's difficult for me to get anything up there, so it will stay, and I didn't think about it much. Till about a month later, when I woke up for school. My bed at that time faced the desk directly to when I sat up in bed and I could see the TV and such. I woke up that day groggy as usual, but with a weird feeling. I sat up and looked straight ahead, and I knew why. Me and Cinderella made eye contact. She wasn't on the top shelf, but on the desk, and thus eye level with me. I quickly moved off the bed and out of the stare of the doll and went to inspect the situation. Logic first of all, if at all possible. So I think, well, maybe there was an earthquake and I slept through it. All this is California, and it happens before, or even a tremor that moved her from her shelf. But I quickly let that go. It's a porcelain doll on a stand with a glass slipper tied around its wrist. How in the hell could she have fallen but not break, or at the very least, not be on the floor or lying down on the desk? Nothing else was disturbed. Just the damn doll, which was becoming creepier by the moment. I hurriedly got ready and went to school, asserting that the first thing when I got home, the doll was going. When I got home, Creepy was in the same place, just waiting, and I snatched it, gave it to my mom, and told her, please just get rid of it. She asked why, and I explained. She just agreed that was weird and creepy and said, don't worry about it. I have no clue what she did with it, and I don't want to know either. Final story takes place in the room that mirrors this one across the hall. Same layout, just flipped. It was a little after high school, and I'd been sitting in my room, talking to my mom about all sorts of things that had happened and struggling with things that my now late grandmother had done. She told me she didn't get it either, and it's always hard when someone is supposed to love you who doesn't, and in fact does things that are harmful to and for you. Anyways, when she passed, all living 14 grandchildren got boxes of stuff. Stuff we had given her, and stuff there was just so much of that everyone got multiples, like dolls, although I declined those. She'd done a lot of ceramic work, so we all got loads of that stuff, mostly angels with a pearly glaze. So I just got done talking with my mom, trying to understand about my grandmother and being pretty angry about things. My mom had left my room, and I was sitting there at the end of my bed on a toy chest my grandfather had built and my grandmother had painted. I was sitting in the middle of it, as far away from the wall, my back to the wall, when I heard a noise that was promptly hit, and was promptly hit in the head. Behind me had been a wall hanging of two cherub faces together, framed by wings. Must have fallen off, I thought, and turned around and looked at the wall. Even if it fell, it shouldn't have fallen like that, and definitely not enough forward to hit me in the head. Oh, well, the faces will be broken, I thought, because they stuck out further than the wings and landed face down on the tile floor. I picked it up to assess the damage, and the smiling cherub smiled back at me unscathed. The crack, crack in the wings that had framed them broke clean off. Well, fuck, I said to myself. Point taken, Grandma. While it freaked me out, I was also thinking, nope, it will not be that easy to terrorize me after death. I went and told my mom, who agreed, yep, most of her sounds like her. Hope you enjoyed these weird occurrences. I'll write back later with my mom and husband's stories as well as more of my own. Also, I want you guys to know I literally squealed at work when I heard you guys read my story. Love the podcast. Keep it up. We'll become an EPP soon.
I don't know that I think that Grandma did something with the doll to, like, attach something negative to it, but maybe there was just so much negativity around Grandma that it just kind of attached.
Sure.
You know, not like she did it on purpose. She was just that kind of a person.
Sure, where just negativity kind of is attracted
right,
to
not,
them.
Not like putting a curse on the doll.
Yeah.
And saying, here, go terrorize my grandchild.
Doesn't seem like it.
Mm-mm.
As far as what we know of the grandma.
Yeah.
Although we have had things like that in previous stories, but I don't get that feeling on this one.
Right, either. Right. But, you know, when things seem to fall on purpose and not land like they've fallen, but
yeah,
like, you know, they were moved.
Projected across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just kind of think, okay, you know, even in an earthquake, stuff's going to fall and it's going to look like it fell.
Yeah. And there'd be, it would not just be relegated to one item.
Mm-hmm.
It would be everything kind of, you know.
Shifted.
Wompy jawed.
Yes. Wompy jawed. That's
wompy
right.
Wompy jawed. It's a fun word.
Uh-huh.
And that means kind of out of place or off kilter.
Yeah. Off kilter.
It's a fun word. I like that one.
I do too.
I've been using it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that a Kansas one or where did that come from?
I've always said it, and that was a Southern thing, but I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from.
I don't know.
Hopefully it has no terrible meaning behind it other than things are just out of sorts.
I hope. I never even thought to look it up. Let's just Google that real quick and make sure we're not making any sort of horrible reference unintentionally. Wompy?
I think it's W-H-A-M-P-Y.
Google automatically inserted it for me. It's in the Urban Dictionary. Crooked, off-center, uneven. There we go. There, I don't believe, is any other horrible meaning to it as far as I'm aware of.
You know, I have to worry about that now because there's stuff that's been passed down in my family that I've just always said and was always normal. And looking back, I'm like, I wonder if that has some kind of bad meaning.
Because
I had one of the, not my grandmother, but my great-grandmother was kind of like the grandmother in this last story.
It's
not the nicest person and would kind of do things. And
sure.
And I wonder how much of that comes from stuff she used to say that maybe had different meanings.
You never know.
No.
Yeah. I mean, so that's why it's like, if you don't quite know what the term means, you should probably look it up.
Right.
Just to be sure. Because a lot of it is like that, where it's innocent. It's just like, well, I've heard this my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it was never meant with any sort of malice. towards anyone or anything, and it was actually, you know, more commonly used to describe a picture frame or something, and then you find out, oh God, that's why it's like, Google is our friend.
Yes.
Brent writes in, hi there. My wife and I are from Ottawa, Canada. In 2008, we took a lovely vacation to Niagara-on-the-Lake, close to Niagara Falls, the Canadian side. Being very close to the Canada-U.S. border, this area was one that saw many loyalist American colonials who wanted to stay loyal to the British crown flee to Canada during your War of Independence. The area was also a focal point in the War of 1812. Needless to say, it has a rich loyalist history and is steeped in tradition. While we were in Niagara-on-the-Lake, we stayed at a number of quaint bed and breakfasts, all built in the late 1700s or early 1800s, one of which is called the Old Angel Inn. The inn is a designated heritage building built in the 1790s with an English-style pub on the main floor and rooms upstairs. The inn is wood frame with thick wood planks for floorboards. It's been featured on many Canadian ghost hunting TV shows. During the War of 1812, as the story is told, a Canadian militiaman, Captain Colin Swayze, delayed joining his unit to spend a few more minutes with his true love. Unfortunately, American soldiers overran the area, and while searching buildings for Canadian militia and British soldiers, Captain Swayze was bayoneted while hiding in a barrel in the basement of the inn. I will not make any Patrick Swayze references.
Or Swayze Express.
Or Swayze Express references.
Okay.
Or sing any music.
No.
That he may have inspired.
Because he's like the wind with a hole in him.
In my dream.
Don't.
Today, if you want to summon the ghost, you must take down the Union Jack, which is a British flag, flying outside the inn, or display the American flag in the building. To put this into test, my wife and I brought many American flag patches and displayed them all around our room to see if this would work. It was Victoria Day weekend while we were in Niagara-on-the-Lake. The May-long weekend in Canada is to celebrate Queen Victoria's birthday, so I thought the ghost might feel a little more royalist. At midnight, we decided to turn the TV off and go to sleep. The bar downstairs was quiet, so I thought that the owners closed. While falling off to sleep, I heard someone in heavy boots walk past our room, stop, open the door in the room next to us. I think I stayed awake for a few more minutes and then drifted off to sleep. In the morning, while checking out, I mentioned to the inn staff that I didn't see or hear anything strange and that it was very quiet. They said that she closed the bar at around 11:30 or so and everyone was out of the building by midnight and that we were the only guests upstairs. I was quite surprised when she told me that at the end of the night, all staff leave and guests stay alone. And I thought about the footsteps, that I never heard the person walk into the room. He walked by our room, opened the door, closed the door, and I guess just stood there. I smiled to myself, thinking that he was probably the captain, a bit upset at the American flags that I displayed. I was hoping for more, but it was fun just the same. I'm looking forward to visiting again. There's also a haunted cemetery in the area, and I've been told that Fort George is also haunted. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
I think it's funny that if you used a modern-day flag, that this ghost would have the intelligence to know that's what it was and be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it wouldn't be the flag from back then.
No, it would look quite a bit different. There would still be stars and stripes, but it would not be the flag that we have now.
Maybe they keep up on that stuff.
I don't know. Maybe if it's just familiar enough and kind of reminiscent of what they're used to, they're upset by it.
Maybe if he really wants to get a reaction, he needs to do that, to get a flag of the period and display that more so than the modern day one.
Then you might have something really bad happen. Who knows?
And the whole inn just bursts into flames.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good thing. Be interesting. But I've heard that before, or I don't know where I've heard it, but I know we've talked about it, and I believe some people have brought it up as far as trying to, you know, bring out the ghosts without, like, actively provoking them and doing stuff like that, is to try and be as much in their period of life as possible, meaning whatever you're wearing, the setting, if you can set it up to a certain place, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sig writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Sig, and I live in the Dallas area of Texas. I've been listening for several months and have finally got up the courage to write in one of my many experiences that I've had in my life, starting with the first one I can remember. When I was little, my grandma and I used to play a game where I could close my eyes and count to 20, and she would hide my numerous toys around the house for me to find, sort of like a game of hide and seek. Being a young kid, I firmly believed my toys were alive and were hiding themselves, and my grandma always played along, always making sure to be back in the room by the time I was done counting. When I was a few years older, I naturally started to question the fact that my toys had a mind of their own and had my suspicions that my grandma was actually the one hiding my toys, so I decided to conduct a simple test. One day, when my parents were outside in the yard working and I was in the home completely alone, I was an only child, I arranged some of my favorite toys in front of the living room and said to them, 'All right, I'm going to close my eyes and count to 10 and you're going to hide.' To my surprise, when I was done counting up my eyes, all but two of my toys had completely vanished. I was absolutely baffled and a little horrified because I had basically figured out that it was my grandma who was always hiding my toys. I went inside to ask my parents if they had come inside and moved my toys, but they denied it. And I believed them because when I explained what happened, they both got a weird look on their face. I went back inside and began hunting for my toys, which I did find. Most were in plain sight. One had gotten on top of the dining room table, but a few were off in dark corners and were difficult to track down. Once I had my toys rounded up again, I simply went on with my day, although I was a little bit weirded out. I think it could have been a benevolent spirit who maybe wanted me to hang on to my childhood sense of magic and wonder a little bit longer, but I'll never know what it really was that moved my toys that day or what the real purpose of it was. It's worth mentioning that a few moments after this, I was walking to my bedroom at night and I noticed a pair of red eyes staring at me from the darkness of the backyard. I froze and blinked once before flying away and leaving me stunned and terrified. I told my dad about it, but he just laughed it off and told me I was tired and needed to go to bed. Maybe that really was all it was. That night I was falling asleep and I swear I heard my name being whispered multiple times, but maybe I was just tired. I have no idea if these two things were related or not, or what that thing in my backyard could have been. Thank you guys for a great show. I plan to become an EPP as soon as I can secure a job. Sig."
I think it was probably one spirit moving all the toys around, and it's kind of like anything else when you ask a spirit or, you know, just to the empty air for something to move, and it does. You know, even though you think you're just playing with your toys, something else takes that as an invite.
I think that, essentially it's interacting.
Mm-hmm.
It was the interaction that caused it to happen, or the recognition, mm-hmm. if you will, that it, in fact, was even there. Are the two connected? I don't know. I could see a possibility there since it kind of happened around the same time.
Yeah.
And then the interaction may have then triggered it to continue on more so than it would have.
And I kind of think it's a benevolent spirit. I think if it were a malicious spirit, it would have hidden the toys in a place that would have been dangerous for her to get to them.
Sure.
Which, you know, I don't think is the case.
It's just kind of there.
Yeah.
It's playing Toy Story
mm-hmm.
with the toys. That's kind of fun. You can look back on your childhood and actually go, yeah, my toys did move. That really happened. And everyone just kind of looks at you like, okay. Jesse writes in, "I've called in about this story once before, but I'm going to retell it in writing this time. That way I don't leave anything out like I did in the voice recording. We didn't start to notice until we got our first dog together, a black lab puppy from the Wisconsin Humane Society named Mo. We didn't like the human-like name, so we decided to rename him before it was too late. Being that he was all black, we decided to name him Onyx, like the precious stone. I mention my dog in this because he was the reason we started putting pieces of this paranormal puzzle together. I've always got somewhat of a weird feeling in the house and occasionally would see things out of the corner of my eye. I always thought nothing of it and chalked it up to being tired since I have a low B12 blood count, which causes me to be sleepy quite often. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, it was my being tired that I was seeing things, or it was simply my eyes playing tricks on me. We soon started to notice that Onyx had a thing for barking in the direction of the coffee table. And since the patio door to the backyard was in that direction, I always figured it was because he just wanted to go outside, even though he would most of the time run back into the house shortly after. He wasn't much of an outdoors dog, I guess. Onyx barking at the dining table grew more aggressive over time. He'd also wake me up some nights while his kennel by whining and pawing at the door of the cage. Side note, his kennel was located next to the dining area. But one night, while everyone was sitting in for the night and settling in, me and my wife in our room and the kids in their room, we heard our son screaming at the top of his lungs. So my wife rushed into the room, thinking something was horribly wrong. When we entered the room, our son kept telling us how scared he was of the spider webs that were trying to get him. He said that no matter how much he covered his face and peeked from beneath the covers, it would still be there lingering over his head. At this point, my wife, being the overly dramatic woman she can sometimes be, which wasn't a bad thing in that exact moment, she told the children to make a bed on the floor in our room and sleep with us for the night. Because my wife was so creeped out, she insisted we sleep with the TV on. So we did. The wife is indeed the boss in all of it. Anyways, what happened next shocked me. I guess you could summarize this next experience as sleep paralysis, but I'll tell you why I don't think it was at the end of the story. Anyway, we all fell asleep. I remember waking up by my feet being tickled a good 10 to 15 seconds after. I was totally conscious. Could not move an inch. I didn't feel a heavy presence over my chest like some people do. I also couldn't talk. I tried to yell for someone to wake up, but nothing. This paralyzed state lasted probably 30 seconds, but in the midst of it all, the TV turned off, then on, then off again. I was able to fall asleep soon after, which ended this terrorizing night. The reason I said I don't think it was a sleep paralysis typical story is because of the events that led up to it and the events that happened after it. A couple of days later, I asked my daughter, who was 9 at the time, if she's ever seen anything unexplainable in the house. And she told me that one night she was watching TV until she noticed a little girl running circles around her bed in a playful manner. Now, this could be extremely relatable to why my feet were being tickled that one night. Was it a ghost child at play, or was it sleep paralysis? I'll let you decide. I don't think that was a coincidence. P.S. I have a friend who's very sensitive. He's had something following him around for years. One night before we went out of town, I forgot my car keys in my room. He took one step into the room with me, gave me a weird and worried look, took one step out and simply said, "I think I'll wait in the hallway. There's something in your room."
It's not something you want to hear from a sensitive friend.
No.
I think I would have kept that to myself.
Yeah. Why don't you go in and get the keys?
Mm-hmm.
Convince your friend to go do it.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work there. That's a creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It probably was not sleep paralysis. I think that's one of those cases where, maybe physically it was sleep paralysis, but how he got in that state, you know, it might have been something taking advantage of the knowledge that people can get into that state mm-hmm. and triggering him there.
Yeah.
In that case, but there's obviously something very bizarre going on.
Well, and it does sound like childlike kind of activity with playing with the TV, turning it off and on, and playing mm-hmm. with feet. You know, that sounds very much like something a little girl would do.
Paralyzing adults.
Yeah, that too.
If you think of it, I mean, if you're a kid, you probably have that thought go through your head, like, I wish I could just freeze them
yeah.
while I do this and that. You know, not hurt them, but, you know, like frozen, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, like, boom. So I guess, and if you then suddenly have the powers as a ghost to do so, I guess maybe you take advantage of that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Go to our next story. Angelique writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Angelique from Ogden, Utah. I've been listening to your podcast for a few months, and it is fantastic. It has brought back a lot of memories of paranormal experiences that I've had throughout my life, and at the same time, I didn't recognize as anything out of the ordinary. But listening to other listeners' stories has made me re-examine those occurrences I just brushed off as weird or strange. I wanted to write in today about a reoccurring paranormal experience that happened to me and my family when we were living in our first house in what's called the East Bench neighborhood in Ogden. This area is the oldest neighborhood of the city and is an eclectic mix of houses that range from restored 1920s mansions to smaller bungalow-style brick homes to homes in the 50s, 60s, etc. It's a beautiful neighborhood with big old shade trees, lots of parks, walking distance to hiking trails that lead straight up to the mountains that surround our city. It's a wonderful neighborhood, and we really enjoyed our time spent living there. Our house was a brick bungalow built in 1945. We bought the house from a couple of professional flippers. They're people that purchase rundown, repossessed homes and fix them up quickly, somewhat cheaply, and resell them for a profit. When we bought the house, it needed a ton of work, but we loved it anyways. We bought the yard, brought the yard back to life, finished the basement, tore down a creepy old shed in the backyard, and seriously terrifying cold storage room in the basement that had a door with a lock on the outside of the door. Within about a year, our house had reached a point of just maintenance and no longer required every waking moment being filled with new projects. During their first year, I became pregnant with our first daughter. Up until I gave birth to my daughter, we never noticed anything out of the norm happening. I'd sometimes feel uncomfortable looking in mirrors at night, but who doesn't get creeped out by that? But as she got older, we started noticing that she and our two dogs would follow something with their eyes. My daughter would laugh and giggle with something. She was in the tub, and when she was a little older, maybe a year or so, she began playing peekaboo with someone who was apparently standing behind me while I bathed her. My daughter's toys would randomly go off. She has a play kitchen that makes a boiling water sound when a certain pan is placed on it. This kitchen set would constantly make that boiling water sound when the pan was nowhere near it. Since we moved to our new house, it has never once made that sound without the pan being placed on it. Other toys would begin singing or making noises without anyone around them or touching them. None of these toys were toys that could be triggered by motion. One of the scarier incidents happened when my daughter was about 2 and starting to speak really well. It was in the living room that my daughter was playing in the hallway right next to her room, so I was out of her line of vision, but within earshot of her. I heard her just playing with her toys, and then she stopped and very casually said, "Hi, Mom." "Oh, hi, not Mom." This freaked me out. Obviously, she was seeing and interacting with someone or something. I always got the impression that our resident ghost was a young woman with dark brown hair and a white dress. I don't know why I feel this. I never actually saw her. It's just like I could see a picture of her in my head. I couldn't make out specifics. She always seemed fuzzy around the edges. I think the one thing that really bothered my husband is how a woman's voice seemed to speak to him whenever he was about to go to sleep. It wasn't every night, but often enough to bug him. I heard her once or twice also. It was also when I was about to go to sleep. My husband told me one time when he was feeling really stressed one night, he was just about to go to sleep, when right by his ear, plain as day, he heard, "What's the matter?" He sat straight up and looked over, and I was fast asleep. He woke me up and asked, "What'd you say?" Obviously, I told him that I hadn't said anything, that I'd been sleeping. One night, I heard her say, "Wake up." It was so urgent and loud, it really scared me. I had my husband check out the house, and he found big, probably male footprints by our basement window. I felt like she warned us, and maybe, by us making noise and getting up, scared away whoever was there. The lady also came to visit our brother-in-law when he and his wife were staying in our upstairs guest room. My sister-in-law, his wife, was always creeped out by our house, but he was more of a skeptic. The morning after their first night at our house, he came down the stairs looking super weirded out and said that some lady yelled in my ear last night. Again, it was right before he went to sleep, and he couldn't remember exactly what she said, but said it was something like, "What was that?" I have several more examples of happenings at this house, but I'll leave you with this last one. We have a couple that will occasionally come over to have dinner with us and maybe watch a movie after our kids are in bed. Our friends didn't tell us this story until we had moved out of this house and into our new one. He said the first night we had ever had them over, we'd been sitting at our kitchen table and had looked up at the ceiling. For some reason, saw a spiraling, smoky figure float up to the ceiling and then just disappear. He didn't say anything at the time because he didn't want to scare us. This was fairly early in our friendship, and we hadn't shared the ghostly happenings of our house with them yet. As scary as all of this sounds, I was never uneasy in the house. If anything, I always felt really comfortable and cozy in that house. When we were trying to sell, we were having a hard time getting a buyer. We'd get an offer, and then they would inevitably decide to take back their offer a few days later. I got so frustrated, I finally spoke out loud to our ghost and said, "Please, let us sell this house. We love this house, but we are outgrowing it. I need to move on. If you're the one keeping us from selling because you don't want us to leave, just know that you are more than welcome to come with us." I am 100% serious when I say this. We got an offer the next day, full price. The sale went through and we moved a month later. Sadly, I don't think our ghost followed us. We haven't had anyone yelling into our ears or talking to our daughter since we moved. Thank you for letting me share this story. I have others to share, some not as horribly long as this one. Thanks again.
I think it's funny that the ghost was somehow controlling the sale or non-sale of that home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was he somehow, he, she, it, whatever it is, somehow affecting the buyers after they left? Or I wonder how that was going on.
Or just giving some sort of vibe, an uncomfortable feeling while they are there.
Yeah.
You know, to make them go, "I like the house, but something just doesn't feel right."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that is the turnoff. I don't know, but I think there was some sort of manipulation going on.
Yeah.
And then it was able to stop. On the other stuff, like the toys making noise, a lot of that, you know, with this, you know, being a ghost story, sure, it could be that. It makes me wonder, though, sometimes with, especially with older homes and just the, you know, the electromagnetic activity that is just from the wiring or lack thereof, good wiring sometimes in older homes. If that, not only, you know, that stuff can trigger those toys. We have it in our house all the time. At least we did when our littlest one had a bunch of those, you know, set off sound toys. Flip a light switch on, and it was creepy at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then we noticed that, oh, when you do this, when you turn on the microwave, or when you flip this switch over here, if that toy is in that area, even without its trigger, it will trigger itself.
Right.
So there's ways that that can be triggered without it being a ghost. But I'm wondering if just the fact of this house being what it is, if that makes it more ripe for the haunting, or makes it that much easier for the ghost to come out and whisper and make noise and make its presence known, because it's able to feed off of those things, because those forces are already influencing objects around the house. Now, is it influencing the ghost too, or enabling the ghost more?
Sure.
It's interesting. Charlie writes in, "Hey guys, love your podcast. It's been really enjoyable to my band and I over our long drives between gigs over the past few months. I've got a paranormal experience that I'd really like to get your thoughts on. My personal beliefs pertaining to spirits and the supernatural are complicated, to say the least. I'm honestly a skeptic, but this experience has been fixed in my mind for more than 25 years. I simply can't find any rational explanation for what happened, nor forget it. The experience is as real and vivid in my mind as the day it happened. The night of my mother's wedding, she remarried when I was 6 years old, and I saw something that changed me forever. Her wedding was held at a plantation known as the Crescent, a famous and commonly used historical house in Valdosta, Georgia. The Crescent was built by William Stanley West, a U.S. senator, in 1898 and was inhabited by numerous elite families until it was bought by the city and named a historical landmark. For its age, the building is in excellent condition and is still used today for all sorts of events. The mansion is three stories with a grand ballroom taking up the entire third floor, accessible by a small enclosed staircase in the second floor hallway. The stairwell has a door on both ends and a small window overlooking the back gardens and courtyard. Halfway up to the ballroom, where the stairs turn 90 degrees, my mother's wedding was held in the afternoon, and the reception was held in a more modern event building located a few yards from the main house. During the reception, roughly around 8 p.m., my friend and I, being six and profoundly bored of all the adult activities at the reception, went out into the courtyard and gardens behind the Crescent to play. We were playing hide-and-seek and joyfully running around the small koi pond at the center of the garden for about 30 minutes or so. I noticed a blue glow coming from the ballroom staircase window. My friend and I immediately froze, baffled by this light, as the main building was completely dark, locked up by the staff and cleaning crew, and totally unoccupied. As I stared up at the window, a small girl walked into view and looked down at me. She wore a pretty white dress and had a ribbon in her hair. At this point, the blue aura increased in brightness and was clearly emanating from her. When she appeared, unbeknownst to me, My friend ran away in terror back into the reception hall. After a few more seconds, she slowly waved at me. About this time, I realized my friend was gone, and I ran back into the party to join him. And the security of my parents. After talking with my buddy about the event, he corroborated everything that I saw, and we both agree that we had seen a spirit girl. Having gone back to that house several times over the past years, seeking answers, I have confirmed that there is no light of any kind in the third floor staircase, much less a blue one. I've dug through many historical records and could over the years and haven't found any families that lived in the home with daughters, although Senator West did lose one of his sons while living in the house. She must have been a neighborhood friend or perhaps a child of the housekeepers and servants that have worked in the Crescent over the years. Looking back on the events as an adult, I feel much sadness for the girl. Although terrified at the time, it is clear to me that she just longed to join us and play in the gardens. Thanks for your time, and I hope you've enjoyed the story. Love to hear your thoughts on this experience. Best, Charlie.
I think it would have been great if she'd come down and actually gone to the party.
That would have been kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Although maybe she had the etiquette and she knew not to take the attention away from the bride on the wedding day.
Could be.
It's like, hey, it's your wedding day. Hey, look, it's a ghost.
Kids had better manners back in the day.
Totally takes it all away with a ghost girl.
Mm-hmm. Or but she could have shown up and brought a turtle.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Because no one ever does that.
No. Jeez.
You want to expand on that story or just leave it at that?
Yeah. The neighbor lady down the street showed up to our wedding.
Not invited.
Not invited.
No.
Wearing cutoffs and some kind of shitty ass t-shirt. And brought her kid, who brought a turtle, a snapping turtle.
Yeah.
To the wedding. And our... You know, we had a small wedding in our backyard.
Yeah, and they just wandered into the tent and
mm-hmm.
with the turtle. Yeah. Oh, people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your stories with us, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like this show, you've been hearing people talk about EPPs. That's EPP membership. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Get access to all of our bonus episodes of the show. More than 80 of them. Exclusive video content and so much more. And that's what keeps this thing on the air. That's what funds the show. So if you like this thing, you want it to stay alive and going, then please consider supporting it. It's only $5 a month. And that's what keeps us going. So please do so. Check it out. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.